for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, October the 29th, 2009. Frank Marzullo Jr. is the speaker of this service, teaching on Spirit of Control.
Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind every spirit of control, manipulation, domination, and every kindred spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, and anything that would block your ears from hearing the gospel, from hearing the truth of this message, be bound in the name of Jesus Christ. I take authority of every spirit that is in the heavenlies above, bind their powers in the name of Jesus Christ, on this earth, around this building, be bound in the name of Jesus Christ, underneath this earth, be bound in the name of Jesus Christ. And now, Father, I ask that you open their ears to hear. I ask that you open up their eyes, the eyes of their heart, for them to see if they are operating in this. Now, I hope that you understand. I don't know most of you personally. I just don't know you. And so if I'm speaking and you hear and you go, how does that guy know me? It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit talking to you. All right, so please understand that. Whenever I give this message, people either hate it or they love it because it's such a convicting message. Now, in order to expose this in your life, I want you to see something. We're going to look at some history here first. In order to expose the control spirit, we must look what control is. According to the American College Dictionary, control is defined as to exercise restraint or direction over, to dominate, to command, to hold in check, to curb, to check or regulate, an active power of controlling, or to coordinate. In addition, Webster's Dictionary says this, states it, an active power of regulating, guiding, and restraining. I think that's a better definition where everybody can understand that. Of regulating, guiding, and restraining. And it will be my tent, therefore, to show you the different ways that the enemy tries to regulate, guide, and restrain you through control. Most of us, most of the time, we're not even aware that the Spirit is controlling us. There is a Spirit that controls us, or even emanating from us. We're not even aware of it. When we come to Christ, we come to Him with all our garbage and baggage, don't we? When we come to Jesus Christ, all our hurts, all our wounds, all our mental perceptions, all the garbage that's in our life. That's when we come to Christ. And as I've shared with you before in other teachings, some of these things enter through generational sins and travel down through our ancestors. Now, I'm not going to go into it. Those who haven't been here before and want to know where that's found, scripture and verse, right, brother? Exodus 20, verse 3 through 6. Find that. There's other curses too. Deuteronomy 23, verse 6. There's many other curses, but if you really want to know what the curses are, go to Deuteronomy chapter 27 and 28 and read it. Look at the effects too, of what it causes, so that you know what to call out in the name of Jesus. Deuteronomy 27 and 28. Read it. I know that I minister to a lot of people that have either been abused verbally or physically by a domineering father or mother, or maybe one of their grandparents, and you see it going right up the line. They were abused verbally or physically by their parents, and then you see it happening from their parents, their ancestors, and you can see it following the line. So another way, first way, that control can come in is through generational curses. Another way that they come in is through our own rebellious nature. There's only several ways where the enemy can get inside of you. Generational curses, rebellion, and rejection. Right? There's only just a few ways that the enemy can get in there. Think about it. Think about that. Generational curses, rebellion, and rejection. So our rebellious nature brings us to sin. It causes spirits to be able to afflict us with infirmities. Do you remember the guy at the pool of Bethesda that Jesus healed? Later on, Jesus finds him in the temple. And they have a conversation, John 5:14. "Behold, you have come well," Jesus is saying to the guy. "Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you." And at this point, Jesus ties sin, that's rebellion against God, to infirmity. Are you seeing that? So you see that the Lord is telling him, don't sin anymore, at least something worse happened to you. You were here at the pool of Bethesda for a reason. Why? You were lame. You were ill. People had to carry you. And so we find that sometimes our afflictions are caused by our own sin, our own rebellion. And a third way that the control spirit can get in, a third way is through our wounds and hurts. And that's rejection. What happens then is rejection. Our wounds or hurts that were afflicted upon us. Everybody here been on this earth for a while? Yes? All right. You've got wounds and hurts. You've got wounds and hurts. And as a way of protecting ourselves from these wounds and hurts, we form a shell, a barrier, a fort. We hide behind it. And this fort, if you will, fortress, 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, fortress in the mind, vain imaginations. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, read that, if you will. And this fort is controlled, is filled with control spirits. Because of our wounds and hurts, this shield, this facade we put up, this thing that we put in front of us, is, and we're hiding behind it, well, that's a fortress and it's filled with control spirits so that we won't get wounded again. This is our nature. This is what we do. And so, at that time, when you build this fort or this fortress and a control spirit can come in, then it makes its base there. It makes its space behind that. And they are sent forth, the controlling spirit is sent forth from behind your shield so that you won't be wounded again. All right? Does everybody get the concept? Okay. This is a learned behavior. This is a learned behavior. They're called paradigms. You know what a paradigm is? It's your concept of your of a worldview because of your situations that you've lived. The things that happened during the course of the life, the things that you've viewed, it's your mind's concept, it's called a paradigm, of your worldview. And in the process, a control spirit is allowed to enter as a means of protecting the host, that would be you or me, of further abuse. So we have this worldview we put up, and behind it is a controlled spirit. The way we view things is now protected by this control spirit. And as I said in the beginning, we're not even aware of it. We're not aware of it. And as I go through this lesson, you're going to say, oh my, oh me. Can they say, oh my?
Oh, my.
Oh, me.
Oh me.
I got you warmed up now. All right. So today we're going to go and concentrate on the ministries of Jesus Christ for our freedom of controlling spirits. Now, there's a lot of things I could teach on, but the Lord said, bring the teaching on controlling spirits today. And since it's effects of generation curse, sin, memory recall from rejection continue long past our salvation experience. You see, when we come to be saved, these sins continue long on afterwards. And you can pick them off today. You're going to find out today that you've got some things. You thought you got rid of stuff. You're going to go, oh me, oh my. Uh-huh. Some people still remain under the rulership of that demon that are sitting here. Some people remain under the rulership of that demon because of the trauma that happened in your lives and the damage the enemy caused. So in order to be free from this, light has to be shed on the darkness and the truth applied to the lie. Hello. That's how you get free. You pull back the covers of the enemy for him to be exposed. Light has to be shed on the thing that's hidden underneath. And then truth has to be applied to that lie. And you have to start living the truth. There's a problem with getting rid of this, however, and this control spirit, because many of those who are demonized by this find it hard to the dismantling of it in their lives, since it was used as a comfort or a protection. See, if it was comfortable, you had a comfort or a protection. You don't want to dismantle this. So I want you to understand that today I'm going to be ripping at things that you don't want to get rid of. There's things that you just don't want to do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus says in Luke 4:18. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Amen? Amen? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. This is what Jesus said. And so what we see here, the first part of the gospel that's preached, the kingdom of God. And that's preached throughout all the churches. They preach the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Father loves you. Come back to the Father. Come. And they preach that. And they stop there. And they don't preach the back end of what Jesus said. You see, they don't preach that. People are under the influence of the control spirit will never get set free until the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to their brokenness, to their woundedness. You understand? To their bruisedness, to their blindness. The blood of Jesus has to be applied to that. And deliverance. My goodness. The churches are asleep in deliverance. So, they're still under the control of the demons that have affected them. Yes, they're saved. Yes, they found salvation. Yes, they got the good news. But they're walking through life bruised, wounded, and hurt. And that's why you hear so many times, I can't go to this church anymore. Why? Because I walk out the same way I came in. I just feel like there's more. I hear that all the time. There's got to be more. You know? They may not know they're demonized by this particular spirit, but they know that their life is just not right and it's plagued with problems. And maybe some of you too. You see? Maybe you are just like that. You're plagued with problems, and you and people all around you know that there's a problem. They just can't put their finger on it. But they know there's a problem. They know there's a problem. But everybody around them knows it's definitely a problem, you know. Christians don't want. I don't want that in my life, brothers and sisters. If I had something that was a problem in my life, I want somebody to put their finger on it for me so I can see it. And so, there are effects on every individual who is demonized. And in most cases, it is internal. When we do deliverance, usually we are doing internal deliverance. We're casting demons out of us because of the effects in us. And so that's internal against the individual, sickness, disease, depression, fear. You get it? And so it's internal. But in the case of control spirit, it's not only internal, but it's external. Because not only does it affect you, controlling you, but it controls others around you. The control spirit controls others around you. This spirit is directed inward to control you and outward to control others. This is a very unique spirit. This is a spirit that controls inside of you and then outside of you to control other people. Its main purpose seems to be used as a control of other people using you. The person who has the control spirit receives benefit from that spirit, and I'll explain, because it brings special attention to them, special treatment to them, to bring them comfort in a life out of control. Their life could be completely out of control, but it brings them comfort. It brings them comfort, forcing other people to jump through hoops designed by that spirit. You're starting to get a little picture here now. He's starting to draw something for you. The control spirit regulates, guides, and restrains others to make them feel obligated to do whatever you, if you have that spirit, whatever you want them to do. Okay? That's how, you know, it controls. They feel obligated. They feel obligated. A sure sign that a person hosts this thing or has this thing inside of them is that others around them feel like they're walking on eggshells when they come around you. They don't know how to speak or don't know how to act. They don't know if you're going to blow up. They don't know how you're going to talk. And if that's the case, you are controlling. It may trigger an emotion inside of a person, and they explode. So you're very careful in what you say and what you do. Anybody know people like that? Okay? You're very careful how you approach conversation. You're very careful on what you say or do around them because you don't know how they're going to react. Or they may act volatile or violent or an outburst of somehow. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." 11, put on the whole armor of God. And I talked to you about that yesterday, about putting on the armor of God, how it's internal, not external. It's on the inside of you. This is something that builds your character on the inside of you. And then it goes on to say, so that you'll be able to stand against the schemes or the wiles of the enemy, the devil. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age." Everybody say, rulers of darkness of this age. I've come to the conclusion, in my ministry, I have come to the conclusion that the spirit of control is a ruler of darkness of this age. It is the strong man that Jesus tells us to bind before we plunder the house. It is a ruler of darkness. How can anyone enter the strong man's house unless he bind that spirit? Remember that Jesus said that? And then you can bind that strong man, and then you can plunder his house. And that's in Matthew 12:29 if you're looking for the verse. It uses other spirits. Control uses other spirits, such as anger, fear, martyrdom, pleasure, including addictions to drugs, alcohol, and sex. It uses several things to control others with. In other words, the control spirit employs other demons to do its dirty work while it sits behind a fortress and employs these other spirits and uses them as a weapon. It uses other spirits as a weapon to do its dirty work. By controlling out of these spirits, you can manipulate the host of that spirit to those who came in contact with the host. Friends and relatives, like I said before, people that are close to you, people that are around you, co-workers, now become harassed by this thing. They're harassed by it. An example of this is when a control spirit induces fear into the person by a trigger word, an expression, a memory. And it manipulates that person and those around them. By exhibiting fear, it can induce the people to pay attention to them so that they will have compassion on them. "Oh, I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid of that. I'm afraid of driving on the expressway. I'm afraid to get in an elevator. I'm afraid to get on the escalator." "Well, okay, I'll take you over here. We'll go over here. We'll take the long way. Come with me. Come with me." And so now you're jumping through a hoop designed by a control spirit. You see? And so I read an author of a book called Out of Bondage, and he gave several examples of this, and I just want to echo these things because they're really good examples of it. As I teach, you may be looking at yourself, please, and looking at these different ways that I'm going to be teaching on this. Don't be alarmed. Don't be embarrassed. Don't point a finger. Don't rib your spouse in the ribs with your elbow. All right, don't do that. It's just, it's between you and God today. And I love the body of Christ. I'm not accusing you. I won't accuse you. But I will, like I say, pull back the covers a little bit so you can see, so we can get light on it. And we can deal with it. Now, Here are some of the ways. I'm going to give you six ways. Anger-based control spirit. You can jot these down. Anger-based control spirit. And I had this. Yeah, I had this. I'm Italian. Well, what's the matter with your face? Huh? I had this. I had an anger. Tell me what Latin doesn't. Oh, but I was an angry person, and part of my testimony is I was a man of God doing the work of God as a minister of God, and I was preaching the gospel, going to other countries. I was preaching in Venezuela, Nicaragua, Guatemala, Colombia, going across to Texas, going to New England, going everywhere. And I was preaching the gospel, and I was proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, but I was such an angry man. I had this thing that just kind of blew up every time that somebody pushed my button. And I couldn't control it. And it was anger. And I controlled my family through anger. They were afraid of me. And my wife said one day, as we were going down the highway and the kids acted up in the back seat, and I was reaching back around me to pinch their legs and yell at them and, you know, get really angry at them. Nobody did that before? Nobody's done that before. I used to loose my belt and go after them, you know. And sometimes I'd go overboard. And the anger was just too much. And my wife said to me as we're going down the road, "Frank, you're an angry man, and I don't want to be married to you anymore." Talk about sobering words. Woo! I said, "Wait a second. I'm sorry. I don't know that I am that way. I don't know. I'm there before I even know it, and I just don't know what to do." She says, "You need deliverance." And she's talking to a deliverance minister, right? And the Holy Spirit said, "Ask your wife to do the dirty work." And I said, "Okay, you're right." We pull off on the side of I-95, traffic buzzing by, and I said, "I love you, honey, and I don't want to lose you. I don't want to lose the family. Please forgive me. I need help." She says, "What do I do?" I said, "Cast the spirit out of me. I'll let it go. I'll do it now." And so there on I-95 in Miami, cars buzzing by, my wife gives me deliverance, and I mean, I had deliverance. It wasn't a fake deliverance. It was a real thing. I got delivered. You know, I wasn't just trying to appease her. I got delivered. I was honest with myself. So, then I said, "Honey, I don't know I'm there until I'm there. I don't know I'm angry until I'm in anger. I need something to help me. I need to know when I'm heading in that direction so I can stop. I need a good trigger word. Give me a good trigger word." And so she says, "Okay, you're starting. That's your trigger word. You're starting." And so I said, "Okay, I received that. I'm starting." And then the Holy Spirit, after my wife said that, said to me, "Every time you hear starting, sit down, no matter where you are." So I said, "Okay, I'll do that. I'll sit down." And the Holy Spirit says, "No, I really mean it. Sit down, no matter where you are, when you hear that word. And that'll break the cycle of this." I said, "Okay, I'll do that." So we're in Publix supermarket, and I hear, "You're starting." Dum. We're in Macy's, and I hear, "You're starting." Boom. I mean, I sat on the floor. People are running up to me and saying, "Are you okay?" We're in downtown Miami, and I hear, "You're starting." Walking down the sidewalk, boom. People running up, cops running over. You know, I'm all right. I'm all right. I'll be up in a second. And I stayed on the ground until I cooled off. You see? And that, you know what I was doing? I was embarrassing myself to show the enemy I meant business. And that's what you need to do. Let your pride go. Get out of this cycle that you're in. If you've got an anger thing issue going on right now, break it. Having done everything, stand firm, therefore. And I had to break the cycle. And that's exactly what I'm asking you to do tonight, too. If you find that you're doing something in the area of control, doesn't necessarily have to be anger. It's going to be one of the other things. It could be some of the other things. Break the cycle of it over your life. Take me as an example. That funny evangelist over at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp said to do this. I'm going to do it. By golly, I'm going to do it. So, here we go. Anger. Fear-based control spirits. Number two, fear-based control spirits. Number three, martyr-based control spirits. Martyr. M-A-R-T-Y-R. Martyr. Number four, pleasure-based control spirits. Number five, sex-based control spirits. Number six, and we touched on it today a little bit by Pastor Bo. Where are you, brother? Back there? We touched it a little bit, right? Jezebel. All right, he's stuck on Ahab, but we got to see the counter of that. Jezebel. Number six is Jezebel. And out of these bases of operation, control demons will operate and manifest. And it's kind of much like this. You know, an airport, it has jets and they're parked at the airport, but yet they fly out of the base. All right, can you get that picture? They're parked at the airport. That's their home. That's their base. But yet they fly out of it. They fly out of the base. And much the same way, demons fly out of their base called control to land on others. Remember what I said? They go outside to do their dirty work. The fundamental, and the person hosting this, by the way, of control can manipulate those around them by using anger, by using fear, by using martyrdom, by using pleasure, by using sex, or Jezebel manipulation. Alright? So we find that the fundamental motivation of the spirit is to protect the person, by the way, of a perceived attack. Remember the shield behind the fort? The fundamental motivation is to protect them who host the control spirit from a perceived attack. And this comes from initially an entry wound, some sort of entry wound of some sort. Like I said, rebellion or rejection or generational curses. Now, in the case of sex-based control spirit, a person may have been sexually molested when younger. And when they get older, they decide to turn the tables to punish the control and control their sex partners. When they become older, they control their sex partners or mates using sex to deprive them, or just the opposite, an abundance in sex, to show that they have power over their partners. You see, they had somebody exert power over them, so now they're learned to use sex to exert power or to deprive. One of the two. They learn the abuser has power, so the victim of the sexual abuse is trying to regain control of their life. They're trying to gain control of their life by using this technique. And this is the way the Spirit brings what seems to be order out of a life that's out of order. That's what the Spirit's trying to do for this person. That's how it tries to please this person who hosts this Spirit. To bring into the victim's life a sense of control out of an out-of-control life. This may drive them into promiscuity with a whore spirit, with multiple sex partners, homosexuality, lesbianism, or just being a teaser. Right? They may become consumed with sex, or just the opposite. What may happen is that they may become Puritans, frigid and rigid. Really? They could. That's what happens. In control. I've got control of the bedroom, so I'll do what I want. Bedroom blackmail. That's a good one. I like that. I'm going to take that to the bank. This, like I said, turns into frigidity to punish their partner, the sex partner. Frigidity to punish them. And in any way of these ways, it's exerting control. And I've counseled many people that have problems in the bedroom. Why? Because you're not getting it. The husband, I tell you what, there's a minister that I ministered to. I'm not going to say who he is or where he's from because I don't want anybody to know. But they got in an argument and it became a control thing. He decided that he wasn't going to give his wife sex anymore. until she obeyed him. Well, she thought the same thing too. And this cat and mouse game went on for a week or so, until it went into a month, then it went into 2 months, then it went into 5 months, then it went into a year. And all this time, this minister, big ministry too, all of a sudden found himself getting divorced. His wife divorced him. How? Why? Control. Who's going to be in control of the bedroom? I'll punish them with sex or the lack of it. So that's how this works. A man with this spirit will be consumed with pornography or lust. Or it may be that he deprive his partner. It may be that this pornography or lust is open, or it may be a secret thing. And there are many in the church that struggle with sex-based control spirits, men and women alike. The sex-based control spirit tries to make the person think that this is the way to fill their void and their worthlessness, rejection, insecurity, inferiority, by controlling other people, by controlling their ones with sex. And this will repair the abuse. This is what they're thinking. This will repair the abuse that was done to them some time back. See, I'm reaching back now. You're thinking of history. You may be thinking of history of when you were abused. And you may be controlling now. And you're thinking, oh, I was raped. I was molested. And maybe that's where it came in at. My controlling attitudes. The pleaser-based control spirit works this way. The pleaser-based control spirit manipulates its victim by doing all sorts of wonderful things. I'm going to do something wonderful for you. I'm going to do all these wonderful things for you. All sorts of nice things. Wonderful things for its prey. And I say prey because in order to get him or her to comply with its demands, I'm going to do all these nice things for you. This is also called a man-pleasing spirit. All right, this is also called a man-pleasing spirit, but we'll just call it a pleaser for right now. And once the target, by the way, I say target because this is really interesting, once the target receives one or more or two of these benevolent actions, a sense of obligation is created. Have you ever had somebody just want to keep on giving you and doing things for you and doing things for you and doing things for you, and then you're obligated? By then, the noose is already around your neck, victim. All right? No? The target usually does not, you're not aware of it. In fact, you may think, this is such a nice thing to happen to me. This is such a nice thing. But by then, the noose is around your neck and it's tightening. And it's tightening. You may feel quite satisfied with this transaction of having somebody do this for you. But by then, you're already on the way to being choked, because basically, and I kind of think of politicians when I say this, you know, they'll do whatever they want to please you, and then all of a sudden when they're in their office, so you feel quite satisfied, and then you find out that you're in their pocket now, and they own you because of all the nice things they've done. You're now obligated. So that's control. That's control. And pleasers like this, they usually have, the one that has this control spirit, the pleaser control spirit, usually has low self-esteem, self-hatred, anger, guilt, and self-condemnation. That's why something happened to them, and you want to get to the root of that eventually, but you understand that this is motivated by something because something happened to them. They generally cannot say no. They're obsessive. They're obsessive helpers at their own expense. They may go on a job. They may have a job that lasts 50 hours a week, and then when they come home, they run out the door to go do some benevolent action for somebody else because they're just pressed to do it, because they have to do it. Whenever you see something compelling you like that, know that the enemy, and if you're not drawn to do this out of love, but you're compelled to do it because you're forced, you feel forced to do it, that's control. Right? That's control. They want to go out and they want to fix everything. They want to fix everybody's problems with gifts and works. That's what they want to do. They want to fix the broken people and solve their problems, and they feel like, that's my job. I got to go out and fix it. Well, who told you to do that? Who told you to do that? Okay, number three, the martyr spirit, the martyr-based control spirit. The one who hosts this martyr-based control spirit seems to be the least likely to be a controller. The other base control spirits are often very strong and forceful and demanding, but the martyr-based control spirit gets control by materializing weakness. By materializing weakness. Oh, woe is me, pitiful me, low self-esteem me, oh, wounded me, I was hurt back then, I have such rejection, I'm so wounded and so hurt, won't somebody help me, please help me. Help me, help me. Doesn't anybody care about me? Always like to look, I always think of whenever I see that, I always think of the damsel in distress, you know? You know? And, you know, that's, it's so apropos, the damsel in distress type of thing. Won't somebody help me, please? All right, so how this manifests outward appearance is like, nobody loves me, nobody likes me, I'm rejected. You'll hear this coming out of them. You'll hear it out of them. My parents didn't love me. My teacher didn't love me. My baseball coach didn't love me. I'm miserable, I'm pitiful, fearful, I'm a pity party. Crybaby. And what did I say earlier today? Wah! Somebody changed my diaper. You know? Baby. You know, and the materialized weakness, and guess what that does? Well, I'll help you. You know, and you control others by materializing weakness. I don't think God wants that in our life. They cannot receive love because of the wound of rejection. Yet love is what they earnestly desire. The wound of rejection started the whole ball game. And it is a major issue why this spirit is able to root and set up control in the martyr. Okay? The martyr-based control. Rejection. Always look for rejection. Deep rejection. Since they are unlovable in their own eyes, the only love that is acceptable is a love that they can manipulate others to give them. Okay? Hidden anger festers all the while as frustrations mount up of not being loved. No matter how much love you give them, they will not feel love. No matter how much you tell them, God loves them, they won't receive it. They won't receive it. They will not allow others to love them while demanding attention through martyrdom. And that's their bag. Another way a martyr control spirit controls others is by controlling the health of the one it afflicts. What better way to manipulate that person and those around them? By getting sympathy for being chronically ill. Right? Hypochondriac. Good way. Good way to do it. Hypochondriac. The pain and the sickness are very real. Believe me, they are. They're very real, brought on by the enemy to control the host and those around them to serve that person. Not every physical illness is this way. I want you to understand. But some come by the fallen nature of the world and some are the product of accidents. By no means the fault of the person or the victim of this spirit. But the enemy will take advantage of even an accident, a fall on the sidewalk, a car crash. And he'll and the devil will devise and schemes and situations that will allow that spirit, that spirit of control to come in. And over a period of years, this person may control others through their sicknesses and their weaknesses. And it may have started when the person was very young and was forever seeing doctors due to an illness, receiving medical attention. I know of a person that this is what happened to them. They received medical attention. They received the father and the mother were always doting over this child because of the sickness, of the disease, of the many visits to the doctor, to the hospital for injections for this and for that, and getting all this attention. And they developed... Later on, one day, the illness stops. And there's no more attention from mom and dad from this anymore. This person was actually healed by the Lord. In the meantime, a controlling spirit came in. Hey, The person craved this attention because of the spirit of rejection in them, and they learned a pattern of behavior on how to get attention. A sick child will be trained to know that if the sicker they get, the more attention they're going to receive. Even if the sickness is long past, that person will be permanently educated in the power of manipulation. So at some point in time in that person's life, a control spirit enters in to show them the way to receive that long lost attention that they had when they were a child from mommy and daddy, from all their friends. So it may be a sickness or an illness that brings us in, or an accident that brings us in. And what happens here is they become a martyr. I'm so sick. And then they're not sick anymore, but then the symptoms still go on. They've learned this, and that has to be unlearned. Truth has to be brought to this. That's what I'm doing to you today. I'm bringing you the truth of it. Some of you here are using some illnesses or sicknesses to control people around you. And there's a demon attached to that. The pain is real. The sickness is real. But the devil brought it in. And he's using that sickness, that illness to control your family, your friends. It may have been a trauma that brought this in originally, a rejection like this girl that I was ministering to up north. A middle child parent syndrome could have been it. Sexual abuse, mental abuse. That damaged the person's personality, affecting all aspects of the person's life, allowing darkness to enter and bring that control spirit in. And the victim who hosts the martyr-based control spirit will need to be encouraged constantly, no matter how much attention you give them and their low self-esteem, no matter how many times you say you love them, they just don't feel it. They still feel, pity me. Won't somebody change my diaper? Please, look at me. Look at me. Please, look at me. Please look at me. I. And it's really selfishness, but it's still a martyr-based control spirit. The next one is called a fear-based control spirit. And in this case, the person with fear-based control spirit, it probably came in through a trauma that brought fear in. And these, you know, there are ordinary spirits of fear that consume and harass people. You know, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind." However, the spirit of control that brings fear brings with it power to harass and manipulate not only the host but others. People who host this type of spirit will be afraid of many things, but bold in other areas. Bold in other areas, such as fear of driving a car, but bold in the business world. You see that? Fear of certain words, but bold in ministry. I know a person that's so afraid of words, certain words that are spoken, but they're bold. They're bold in other areas in their life. Fear of crowds, but bold in relationships. And even though that this seems, they seem bold in certain areas in their life is ruled in a constant state of fear of one form or another. So fear does this. By inducing fear, the control spirit can manipulate people, but its primary use is to manipulate those around them by using the victim of that spirit. By exhibiting fear, the control-based spirit can manipulate and induce people to serve and care and look out for you, pay attention to you. Pay attention to you, and thus in turn it turns an inward fear outward to operate on its victims. This routine becomes a safety mechanism to the host of the fear-based spirit that makes him or her feel in control out of an out-of-control experience. And the fear-based control spirit and a parent can be easily transmitted to their child. My mom was a worry wart. Guess what some of her children turned out to be? Worry wart. You know, and I had to, yeah. I was working in a flea market one day, and because I had many hats I used to wear, and used to be a policeman, used to be a merchant, used to be a pool man. So just to let you know, right? I don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. So I'm in a flea market, and competition comes in, and I'm sitting in the manager's office, and I'm wringing my hands. Now, I've been witnessing the people in this market for years and years and years, and the manager, who was secular, looked at me and said, "Aren't you a Christian?" I said, "Yeah." "Oh, why are you afraid?" I go, I don't know. I know it's wrong. You know? And so I dwell on that for a long time. And then I realized that my mom was a worrywart and I was a worrywart. So I had to get that spirit cast out of me. The spirit of fear, worry, and fear. It comes right down, like I said, the generational line. You'll find that happening. But, and fear is basically extortion. Using fear is extortion. If you are afraid, you are extorting using fear. If you don't do this for me, I'll be afraid. And so I learned that. It opens an avenue for the spirit of fear and anxiety to pass down to the children. This experience learned in a child then learns how to use fear to control others. And I, you know, use also fear. Why don't you take over the checking book? For, I'm afraid. Why? I'll bounce checks. Fear. You see? Why don't you do that? I'm afraid. I don't think... why don't you do this? I'm afraid. And it forced somebody else to do it. So it forces other people to do what you're supposed to be doing. I know this for a fact because I had to unlearn this and get delivered of it. A healthy fear in God is necessary to worship Him. Amen? Amen? What's this?
Amen.
It's the beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7. It's an awe and a respect of the living God. However, when a person has a control-based spirit of fear, this healthy respect for the Father becomes distorted into a terror of God. Have you ever met people who are afraid of God? Afraid? Terrified of them? Well, some of you that have been in the deliverance ministries for a while have found these people, or they found you. They're afraid of God. They're afraid of it. And so it distorts it. Fear-based control spirit distorts the image of God. Anger-based, I gave you what happened with me in anger. Anger enters through some form of abuse, and the abused person, whether it's sexual, verbal, emotion, abuse, the anger they feel towards their attacker is multiplied. All right? Whether it be verbal abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse. I just got rid of a demon. There's another one. I may do this all night. Anger. The anger they feel towards their attacker is multiplied. Whether they were attacked verbally, sexually, emotionally. And when the control spirit joins in with anger, watch this now, a tornado of anger outward towards everyone else and everything else, ready to explode at a minute's notice. Anybody know any hot-headed people? Huh? Okay. Hot-headed people? Well, that was me. I was hot-headed. But that was control. And I already covered that. I already told you about that. The purpose is to cause its victims to cower. Whenever you see anger-based control and somebody is angry, it's always causing others around them to cower, to back down. In anger, they usually chew people up and they spit them out for no reason. Anybody know that? They use very quick. They have very quick minds, very quick-witted, with a lot of humor attached to it. But yet they chew people up and spit them out for lunch. And sarcasm. Sarcasm is anger. Sarcasm is hate. When somebody's sarcastic, it's hate, it's anger, it's bitterness. So when they show that, there's usually a control spirit behind that. Controlling people. It's a power thing to control others. Making them back down to abdicate authority. And this is how this spirit receives comfort, by causing others through intimidation to bow to them. To bow to them. And that's how this person who has this realizes that they could reign in terror with this. If they've got this and they can explode, they can control the crowd. They can control people. Controlling with seething anger. Here's another way. Seething anger. We're still in anger. This type of control anger is not on a surface, visible, but its effects are the same by controlling, by dominating, and intimidating. Its purpose is to punish. Seething anger is to punish people. What's wrong, dear?
Nothing.
Silent treatment. And you want to walk over here and do this, but you're afraid because you don't know what nothing is. Huh? You want to do this over here, but you're afraid because you don't know what nothing is anymore. And you go, I know I did something. I don't know what it is. I know that I'm getting the silent treatment for something. I don't know what it is. So I better sit quiet for a while. Huh? Is that control? Yeah, that's control. How about this? It's time to go. We have to be there soon. And because of some wound in the past in that person's life, the host of this seething anger control spirit will not be told what they are to do or when to do it.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.